We had a good discussion on autos, electronics, horizontal mechanism, remanufacturing, and textile labeling. My summary is more highlighting of what I would stress, and it's not an exhaustive list. These are just elements which struck me during the consultations, which took place in a good atmospherics, good engagement from participants, and therefore a fruitful exchange of views with inputs from many delegations. In the automotive sector, the focus of discussion was an on-paper by the European Union containing additional legal language with respect to the use of international standards. It was really a big surprise to note that all car-producing countries would like to export their cars to other countries. Second, the EU argued that 20 years of the TBT agreement in this sector has created a mess. And he was the sober man, the only one fighting against this mess, which gave me the impression that the others have not realized yet that we have a mess. The basic question is, what is the level of ambition? How far do we go, how far can we go in this endeavor? And this depends on the vision members may have. And these visions seem still to differ a little bit. The EU strongly invited members to cooperate, to do the things together, instead of creating specific standards for the chewing gum container in a small car. In the beginning of the EU, they had 134 directives for harmonization of a mirror in a car, and therefore the EU has understood how difficult it is to come to harmonization. But how much plus in the TBT agreement do we want to have in this negotiation? That's the basic question, where I don't hear harmonious responses. So maybe one way of further work would be to look at the flexibilities in Article 2.4 of the TBT agreement and see whether they are altogether causing the mess, if we admit that we have a mess. Or whether experts have such expertise that once they created something, they do not want to abandon it. Is that the obstacle preventing us to go further? Or do we think globalization and private sector will settle the issues on their own? And are really all the standards necessary to have a good level of security, or to want to introduce the precautionary principle in the car industry. And this principle is very easy to satisfy if you take the bicycle instead of the car, or the train or the plane. These fundamental questions need to be answered. So, what is the level of ambition in the group? If it's nil, if you don't want to go towards TBT Plus, why should we invest days and days of negotiations? If you don't want to go along the avenue designed by the EU, what are the alternatives? Don't expect them from the chair. And do we have the knowledge here to respond to these questions, or do we need further homework to get prepared to answer these questions? I mentioned that I would be interested to hear from the car industry their assessment, perfectly knowing that the car industry is one player in this, the regulators on safety, environment and so on are other players, and finally we trade specialists are the third component of the game. There was a discussion about the work done in WP29 of the UNECE, and it might be useful to listen to their presentation, what they are doing, how they are doing. And I offer you as a homework to examine what kind of other avenues than the one designed by the EU we could find for facilitating standard setting and establishing linkages with standard setting organizations. The more down-to-earth debate was stimulated by a contribution from Canada on transparency provisions that members will examine until next summer week and see if this could serve as a basis for a common approach to transparency issues, except on standard setting. We also noted the Japanese satisfaction to have received answers to their interests. And finally, I would like to thank all of you for the efforts and for the work and the discipline. The first day we were a little bit crowded in a room. But this time it was not due to the Japanese delegation. It was due to the overall interest in our discussions and to the diversity of issues that were tackled. Nevertheless, we could work in a business-like atmospherics because you were very disciplined. So I would say, as we say in French, chapeau. Let's turn to electronics. There as well, the one focus of the discussion was the Canadian contribution which presented merged value-added transparency-related provisions in the two electronics proposals. There was also a secret document, a secretariat document, which outlined the US and EC transparency provisions, with notes that explained the difference between the proposals and the TBT agreement. I would note the following elements of conversions at the conceptual level. Issue of interested parties and members, there may be the proponents would be well advised to put an explanatory note on the table to show how their system function is an interested party, a self-designated person who can participate in contributing with their comments to a draft, or do we have a definition of interested parties in the members? How to take note and react to the technical improvements which took place in the last 15 years with the appearance of internet and other electronic facilities. Then we had a discussion on the concept of cost of complying. If trade frictions arise, one or the other regulator would be well advised to take it into account, better before deciding on a new regulation than afterwards. Maybe proponents could describe with precision what kind of costs they mean and give examples of what they consider as costs. We have a problem of implementation. A whole conceptual discussion about comments. What comments are expected, what to do with them, if published, summarized, or the entire comment, in what language. Then how do we facilitate the procedure in cases of urgency? Before or after the regulation? This is another point for discussion. To continue in this speed and degree of engagement, it is necessary to get as many inputs as possible for our next session. We would then be in a position to draft texts as working basis for future negotiations. Finally, to better know the universe of electronics, it might also be useful to have here a workshop and to dialogue with the industry and this group. I discovered the world of the horizontal mechanism. Up to now, the horizontal mechanism for me was the siesta. The focus of discussion was based on a revised text by the promoters, and that's the first revised text in 1 year. It's contained in document TN/MA/W106/1. Then a document with proposed amendments by Korea in JOB/MA/1, and three proposed amendments by the US No, and the third document, proposed amendments by the U.S., job/MA/4. The difficulty you face with the horizontal mechanism is it's a tool which has been devised as a rapid sailing boat, and some members would like to transform it into an aircraft carrier. So this is the other conceptual reflection, where members are invited to think about, do we want a rapid, pragmatic mechanism for dispute prevention, or do we want to satisfy all the lawyers to bring in all the risks for the next 3 or 4 centuries? Of course, any international commitment has to reflect the legal possibilities of members. But if we open a toolbox to members to pragmatically organize a dialogue in order to prevent later troubles, I don't think that we need to look for legal perfection. I don't say that only economists should draft a legal text, but the perfectionism of us as lawyers sometimes has to be contained. I think conceptually we have an agreement that this mechanism has nothing to do with the dispute settlement mechanism. And there is language on the table which probably satisfies that, but it needs further scrutiny in capitals. But there, I think it's not too difficult to solve. There was, however, one dimension which appeared in the discussion. That's the relationship between Article 13 of the DSU and the mechanism. Because if you decide that this mechanism, all the elements should not fall in the public domain, and the panel decides to ask for these documents because they think it might be useful for a panel procedure, we may face a problem. So whatever I think we do, we need this flexibility to leave open the door for a panel to investigate about documents that are existing. This is something you have to think about. Then the committee first approach was debated, and there is only a question of definition. You can have a very restrictive view that committee first means you can't do anything because before the committee meets and looks at it and gives it green light. Or you could argue that whenever you start the procedure, the committee is informed as a first step. And then you have the question of third parties being allowed to participate or not. One suggestion was made to talk on non-tariff measures rather than on non-tariff barriers. And I have the feeling that this approach gained support. We have still open questions with regards to the review. Should it be a review or a guillotine? Should the horizontal mechanism have a lifespan of a couple of years and then be eliminated or amended? Here we need some more precision on this issue. Finally, in my non-exhaustive list, the role and qualifications of the facilitator was also discussed. One big issue is, should the horizontal mechanism cover SPS measures or some SPS measures, meaning SPS measures related to NAMA goods? Let's not forget, even I as a Swiss have discovered that NAMA also covers fish. And probably in the fishery sector, SPS measures are more relevant than in the selling of nails. This as well needs further consideration. And those who are fighting against SPS are invited to give us their motivation other than the one that SPS depends from another ministry. So any additional reaction to the papers should be delivered. This would allow the co-sponsors a sufficient period of time. If you have additional reactions, please provide them by the end of this month. Then the co-sponsors will evaluate whether they will add additional documentation or whether we in the secretariat will work out a clear working basis to facilitate your work. Remanufacturing, the focus of discussion was based on a co-sponsor's paper, which presented ideas for a work program. The co-sponsors, Japan, Switzerland, and the US. The discussion led me to conclude in the following way. Co-sponsors now focus on the organization of workshops and discussions organized by themselves and interested delegations whose skepticism has not been exhausted yet. Some delegations wonder why this cannot be done immediately in the ambit of the General Council on Goods or given the environmental dimension in the ordinary Committee on Trade and Environment. Basic questions and anxieties from developing countries are, where are the benefits for developing countries? And the fear that such an approach would pave the way for evacuating waste into developing countries. But again, we are just talking about a work program, further studying the issues, looking into various aspects of this rather new industry and expanding industry. The question of definition is still an element for discussion. My suggestion was to use the ones on the table as working hypotheses, and further the understanding grows, we may wish to adapt these definitions. On the contributions we have received, the authors hopefully will be ready to participate further in the dialogue we started on the 4th of November. Turkey, Brazil, India, and the co-sponsors signaled that they will come back to this issue. Labeling of textiles, clothing, footwear, and travel goods. This was the last issue to be discussed. The proposal and inputs from Korea and co-sponsors' answers to Japan were the basis for the discussion. Korea underlined the issue of semi-fabrics, which has been raised by many delegations, and I detected openness of the proponents to exclude them from labeling obligations as long as they are not entering into contact with final users and consumers. The specific issue on the ISO fees was raised, and the Secretary will clarify that with the Secretary of the ISO for next meeting. It's in case you use the pictograms and the elements devised by ISO. Members were interested to know more about the proponents' legislation regarding non-labeled shipments, and we here as well discussed the substantive contribution by Canada on the transparency clauses. The issue of S&D was also brought up. We had an ample discussion on paragraph 2, in particular the presumption and burden of proof criteria and the issue of country of origin. There was also a question about care labeling, and references were made to COOL, a case, and we noted the response by the US that there was no relation, because in this dispute settlement case it's about meat and not about textile, even though sometimes you can use meat as a textile or vice versa. Here as well we have a question on the level of ambition. One delegation found that the text as it stands will not bring a big value, while others underlined the importance both for developing and developed countries. Proponents may wish to update their proposal by the end of the month so that others can come with written amendments and we enter slowly but surely into a text-based negotiation. Are there any comments?